This morning, we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. A familiar book and a familiar two verses I'm going to focus on for our time of prayer. But I really do love the book of Philippians and reading through it. It's a wonderful short book because it's so filled of positivity, of encouragement, of joy, the encouragement to just to be joyful in all circumstances. And it's just such a good positive message that the Apostle Paul gives to the Philippians. And the surprising thing of it is that it's written from him in prison, less than a joyful circumstances is where he writes it from, and so full of joy. And so, you know, such a lesson in and of that itself, but there's some things that he speaks of that can encourage us in various circumstances. And in one of those is in our prayer life, in our time of prayer. And I'll just start with verse four. He encourages the people there, the Philippians. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, he gets to, he tells them to rejoice. He repeats it to rejoice. And he gets in verse 6, this thought of being anxious. And he says, don't be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. And so the question is, if you're not to be anxious for anything, it begs the question, is it sinful to be anxious over something? Is it a sin if we're anxious for something? I know there's a lot of places that the word anxious or anxiety is found in Scripture, but it's plain that the Christian, the believers in the Word of God was anxious about things. There was anxiety in their life. David, throughout the Psalms, talks about it a lot within himself. He says, "Search me." Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me and know my anxious thoughts." He obviously had them. He adds despair with that anxiety in Psalm 42:43. He knows, he acknowledges his despair. So obviously, the psalmist acknowledged some anxiety going on within himself. Peter, 1 Peter 5:7, he presupposes that you have anxiety, and he tells you just what to do with them. Cast your anxieties on him, or he cares for you. So it's not like that, you know, Christians are free from anxiety. I mean, you would be, I think, less than, human if, you know, if your wife or your grandchild went in to have labor, you know, for a child, if you weren't anxious about that delivery. You know, if you were told that the doctor needs to run tests on you to check for cancer, they suspect, for you not to be anxious about those results, I don't think you would, you know, it'd be less than normal to have those, at least those feelings, those initial feelings of anxiety there. We have to acknowledge that they're present within us. But so he's not saying that, you know, you should not have any anxiety whatsoever, be anxious for nothing, in the sense of anxiousness shouldn't be nowhere in your vocabulary. It should never be a part of you. But it's more of what Paul is doing in this epistle of what to do with that anxiety. He says, with that anxiety, bring it to prayer and supplication before the Lord. And that idea of not, you know, supplication is like prayer, I think, on steroids. It's like the word supplication. It's like more of a desperate prayer, more of a humble, really desperation of going to the one who can really has the power to do something about it. So take those anxieties, he's saying, and go to the one and beseech the Lord earnestly for these needs, for these things that you're lifting up in prayer. Go to that one with that attitude, with that humble attitude, And he adds with thanksgiving. Why is that so important to add with our prayers, that idea of thanksgiving? I know Mark has taught on this before, but, you know, a couple of things that I recall, the reason why it's so important to add thanksgiving with our prayers and our prayer requests. Two reasons I see is, one is that if you never teach your child to have a thankful heart, they grow up with thinking that one, they have nothing, and two, they are owed something more than they have, and it makes them think that life owes them more because, you know, they don't have anything yet. Now, I remember this expression that it is true for myself, included. I heard someone say, that, you know, when they grew up, and I was exactly like this, that our conditions, we were extremely, you know, in that poor category of today, even here in America, you know, my childhood, and I didn't know any different, that I didn't have everything I needed until somebody else told me how poor I was. You know, it's like, I never realized it. I thought I had everything that everybody else had and then some, you know. I had a stick and a shovel and a pile of dirt in the backyard, and I thought, what else do you need, you know? And so realizing that, to be thankful, have a thankful heart, is like lanyap to what you already have, you know. And another reason is that if you don't realize that what you already have when you go to the Lord in prayer, if the Lord's desire is not to grant that request, your world is crushed. If you think that without being thankful for what he's already given you, whether it be something, you know, minor, like, you know, like it could be like another job or a way to make, you know, a better living or something like that. And he says, no, he shuts that door. If you don't realize you already have a way to make a living and maybe it's not as good, then you're just devastated. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? How am I going to make ends meet? Or whether it's something major, like you lose one child. And if you don't realize that, a couple things, if you don't realize that, look, the Lord has given me these other children that I am thankful for, that I am blessed to have. If you don't realize that, you know, the rest of your world, the rest of your life, it gets nothing because you're just so wrapped up in what you did not get, that what you have, you lose. What you have, you miss out on the blessings of them, and you stay in a spirit of depression without realizing what you still have to be thankful for. You know, if you lose an eye, and you can't realize that you're thankful to have not lost the other eye, and you act like, I'm crushed, I can't go around because I can no longer see. And you realize you can't, without realizing I can see, I just got to see with one eye instead of two, and be thankful for that. Your life stops for no reason. So it's the attitude of being thankful first for what you do have makes you, keeps you the spirit of joy in your heart, realizing what you do still have. And likewise, the other reason is because of being thankful is because of the one that you have the ability to go before with this prayer request. We pray with a thanksgiving in our heart because at the very basis, we have the ability to go to the one. We're thankful because as a Christian, as a child of God, we have what those outside of the world does not have. We have the ability to go with these requests and petition food to the one that we know hears our prayers. The lost have no one to bring their needs up to. If they can't solve it themselves, they're in desperation. They're in despair. They have no joy because they have no one to petition who hears them. They do not have the object, the person that they're praying to. If you do not realize that I'm going to the one who has proclaimed to me that I have given you my son, how shall I not freely give you all things that you need, all things that you request that are good for you? If you do not have that thanksgiving before you go in prayer with that, saying, Lord, I'm so grateful this morning that the one I'm petitioning with these anxious thoughts of mine hears me He tells me, he invites me to come with these requests and with these anxieties. If you do not have that in mind, that thankfulness of saying, Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that I can petition the one who before the foundation of the world even set the circumstances in place. And it tells me he has orchestrated this for my need, and he is whatever he does will be right for me, will be best for me. I am his child. Thank you, Lord, that I know when I leave these requests before you as your child, you will grant me what is needed for me. You know, that sort of thanksgiving, if it's not part of our prayer requests, then it's just selfishness asking just what we want without all of that in place. It just leads us to a wrong attitude in our prayers. So it's prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let it be known to God. And here's the result of that. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, shall guard your heart and mind. He doesn't say, and the results of those prayers and me giving you and granting you those requests is what's going to surpass all understanding. It's not those specific answers of those prayers that's going to do something. It's the peace that he's going to give you as a result of doing that that's going to blow your mind. That peace, the Apostle Paul, that wasn't a coincidence that here that he says that, is that he says that peace of God. That's key when you, again, go back to understanding the Apostle Paul in writing this again. He being in prison, there was probably a little anxiety between the disciples and others that were supporting Paul and listening to Paul about, yes, they're praying for Paul to get out. And I'm sure Paul would probably rather to be out sharing his messages in person with the Philippians and others. But there was a peace of contentment that he shares throughout this book. I'm content, he says. He says in that same verse, chapter, a few verses down, he says, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. I've learned to be at peace in all circumstances. He says, whether in little or with lot, I've learned the secret of being fulfilled and going hungry, having abundance, suffering need. I've learned the secret of being at peace with my circumstances. This is the result of praying with thanksgiving and bringing it before the Lord and trusting in the Lord in our prayers, is that we're at peace with his answer. Whatever ways, whatever he ordains is right. We shall be content. We shall be at peace. And that peace that comes when bringing these requests, you know, yes, we pray and we wrestle with specific requests to the Lord as we see it. And we argue and petition with our arguments in prayer, as we've talked about so often, that given reasons for the answers. But when it's all said and done, we're given peace as we lay them to the Lord's feet and say, I know these requests that we're privileged to come before you, that you shall hear our prayers, and we shall be at peace in how you answer, because we trust in you. We trust in your character that you will always do right by us. And this surpasses all understanding, that peace that comes on. You probably heard testimony by some brothers and sisters, like being at somebody's funeral, a relative or somebody's funeral, or maybe their spouse or whatever. I've heard testimony by others of saying, you know, the Lord just, I don't know, he just gave me a peace that I did not expect during that time. You know, I did not want, you know, this was a devastation, but the Spirit of God came over and I just had a peace that surpassed my understanding that I did not know. Apostle Paul uses that word surpasses in the chapter before in verse 8 as well. He says he counts all things lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ his Lord, for whom he suffered the loss of all things and consider him as rubbish in order to gain Christ. The knowledge of knowing Christ, it surpassed the value of everything. It exceeded the value of everything. The peace exceeds the value of the specific answer to the prayers. It's the value. It places a higher value on that peace, what God grants us to rest in the sovereignty of God, even in our prayer requests. That people outside, we probably don't realize this, but those outside of us, they're dumbfounded when they see us have that type of peace in the midst of those circumstances. I remember the great testimony of John and Elizabeth when Madeline was born the way she was, and the testimony that in the midst of that, these people in the hospital saw them just thanking the Lord and their peace with not only receiving Madeline, but loving her exactly the same way as if it was born any other way. The peace that came across in how they handled the situation and how their testimony and their words, it was a peace that came from trusting in the Lord and knowing that, yeah, they did like everybody does. Every for sure child of God does before a delivery. They prayed about it and they rested that the Lord was good and he's righteous and he does what's best. And they rested with that peace. And that's the type of peace that surpasses it. It blows people's minds that don't understand that are outside of the church of God. They don't understand that. But that's what he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. That's what's going to guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Your hearts, your emotions to keep you from losing it when you don't get the request you pray, or your mind from second guessing the what ifs, the maybe I didn't, and the, oh, I'm not a believer, or, oh, this is happening because, you know, I'm less than what I should be before God, or God hates me and there's a black cloud over me. All of those nonsense things that Satan throws your way, that peace is going to guard our hearts and our minds from that. And that's just a little snippet of this this book of Philippians that has to do with when we bring things before the Lord in prayer. And I thought maybe to share that this morning as we lift up some prayer requests and have a little time of prayer. Thought maybe that'd be an encouragement to remind ourselves of these words. So we can now take some time in prayer of different things. I know that Samantha just shared the loss of her father. Other things we can go to the Lord in prayer this morning.
She also said that Gloria is sick.
Yeah. What's that?
Gloria is sick. All of a sudden she had a rush.
Okay. Okay. Other requests that we want to remember.
Chris has COVID. I think he's fine.
He's fine.
Okay, good.
Sure. You mentioned John about this. The anniversary.
Yeah, she's due any time now.
Iris better.
Yeah, Jeff's wife Myra. Thank you, Tom, for the updates there. Making progress, getting better, got a ways to go, but he's very thankful for the progress of her.
What about Michael? Baby
Mark. Yeah, I haven't. Does anybody know and keep up with any of that? We remember Baby Michael often, but yes.
I don't know, but I'm going to be on the road tomorrow. I'll be gone.
Is that just you, or you and Mike and everybody, or what?
It's, I'm traveling to my dad's tomorrow. He's been for a few days, but then I meet Thomas and his family. On Thursday.
Okay. Our lost loved ones. I recently had dealings with someone a lot more than I wanted to. That mimics my daughter Amber. Right now, I'm probably in the same condition as Amber at her worst, and the Lord open up an avenue to share some things. And it grieved my heart again, and for a number of reasons. It's when you talk about this type of peace and being able to go before the Lord with your anxieties and everything like that. And I guess when you're before those that don't have that ability, you know, it's like, it saddens you that they have no avenue or recourse for the only thing that's going to help them, you know? And you can't get inside and do the work of the Holy Spirit as much as you want to. You know, and so I found myself sharing the same things with her that I did with Amber, you know, and said to me that right now I see the same results, is that they just don't get it. They just don't get it. They just stay focused on, unlike Paul, the circumstances, only the circumstances is what has to change in their mind for them to be better. Just give me this, just get me out of this situation, and then it's all better. And, you know, when we talk about lost loved ones, it's like, you know, this peace of God, this, in spite of the circumstances that Paul speaks of here about being in prison, that we take that for granted. We take that so for granted, is that, you know, just being able to realize that, the goodness of God, it has nothing to do with whether you're out of prison or in prison, whether you have money or don't have money, but like just whatever it is, it's like, but anyway, her name is Kelly. I actually lift her up, as well. It's, you know, like I said, you pretty much the same scenario, that bad decisions and having to do with, I don't know for sure, but just, it looks like the same thing with bad decisions, bad relationships, medications and drugs, stuff like that has gotten them to that point. But anyway, her name's Kelly. I actually remember her. And continuing as we do our lost loved ones. Claudia, has anybody heard from Claudia lately? Bridget has sent her a few texts.
I was over there Wednesday fixing the computer. She was doing much better.
Much better.
She's
very thankful for that.
Blood pressure.
Blood pressure was better. Excellent. Thank you, Lord. Excellent. Yeah. And another thing is that I don't think we need to beat ourselves up on the, you know, when we talk about that level of peace of God that overcomes our anxieties, we don't need our, you know, we're, our personalities are different, you know. The Lord gives grace in different measures. You know, we shouldn't beat ourselves up when we, when our blood pressure does go up a little extra, you know, but then he can surely make it come down. When those things, to be anxious for something, don't beat yourself up over. You know, when we vent, we bring it back to the Lord. You know, sometimes I vent my frustrations different ways than you vent yours, you know, not always wholesome, you know. Bridget reminds me quite often when she hears me grunt like a bear real loudly, that's the first sign. That's the first one. When I have this real loud growl over something that didn't go right, that's the least of them, you know? And so, you know, I've got Bridget to, you know, ever be it straight and direct as it is, which sometimes I hate, but I know it's the bottom line. She tells me to suck it up, buttercup, you know, like, stop it, you know. You know, but anyway, don't just a reminder, don't. The Lord is mindful of our frames. He's mindful that we're but dust, you know. He shows mercy. All right, any others left up? Anybody else traveling? I know, you know, there haven't many people traveling that will be.
working out.
Yes, y'all be traveling next week.
That's not her, right? Of course. Chelsea went to the hospital, lost alone. Chelsea went back home.
Chelsea. Oh, I gotcha. I'm praying for my ears, my hearing. Chelsea, got it. Okay. let's go for the Lord. Josh, would you pray for us this morning?
Lord, we come before you thankful. Thank you for a great piece of praise, Lord. Pray, first and foremost, Lord, that our lives are blessed. Praise you so much for the that we, for the worthwhile life, death, resurrection of Christ, Lord. Your glory very much to our praise you, Lord, that we are not bound by the circumstances of this world. But emotion this morning, reminder of that. So often, not only do we find frustrations that cause us to be frustrated, growl, or whatever our reaction is, Lord, even in the big word, still, when passing our parents, all of life is just seeming bringing down chaos. Lord, you are steady, good, holy God. Have the opportunity to only serve, Lord, but you're not some subjects off in some point land far have kind of all heard story about you. Have your word promises to us. Have a relationship right now, Lord, to come away and pray in the name of Jesus to be heard.
Yes.
Your spirit, Lord, causing us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, and causing us to be children. Cry out to you, Father, Father. Know that you not only hear us, but are working good to the Lord, also to our benefit. Praise you. Praise you for that intimacy, Lord. Praise you for that intimacy, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for the testimony ongoing. Single day as Christians. People sitting here at this very meeting, ones that they have, neighbors or friends or families, relationships, people they haven't seen in a long time. List that Mr. Todd has with this girl Kelly. Incredible. The difficult training that you've given him preparing for the situation, for situations such as this. Praise you for that. That testimony, but that encouragement. Pray for them. So, further equipped and challenged to be ready in season and out for situations that have themselves right. Thank you, Lord, so much for all of the testimonies of the saints. This is very weak. This is the last time that we met together in this place for a full week. So, again, Lord, bears obedience. Praise you so much for the saints. Lord, we also praise you for the opportunity to come together to place of encouragement, a place to hear your word preached, and to sing song praise. So, GBI being that place allows us to gather together. By people that you have chosen out of this world. This would be a place safe to study your word. And Lord, we live in a place where we are also safe to even that's the kingdom. It's currently where it don't have doors being kicked in. They're not being thrown into prison. Just like Paul. We pray that even in those circumstances, Lord, if those should come, if you burst in always in front of us,
yes,
you focus on you, not focus on the business, Lord. All circumstances will be spared. Lord, we pray for the many prayer requests that your Lord be prayed for. Things that lay on people's mind, eyes to place for their too personal, not at a point where they were ready. So much to make such a chance. Lord, we even thank you that we're burdening us for those people, burdening us for those situations. Praise you that we have the opportunity to shed light and darkness in those situations, Lord, that may be fun of us. As darkness tends to find other darkness, or voices of importance tend to find other people make the same kind of voices. So we pray that for those situations that we would go boldly before the throne calling out to you. Praise you, Lord, for the gathering of the saints. We pray the centerpiece of all of our thoughts and prayers, singing, studying like a bird, and everything would be centered. Precious name.